Let's bow our hearts once again before the Lord. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, he says, "And who is sufficient for these things?" Our sufficiency comes from God. To bring the word of God, only He has to make me sufficient. Father, thank you once again. There are many insufficiencies in me, but it is you are the one who makes me sufficient in my insufficiencies. So Lord, let your word appear once again. Let your word appear once again. Let your word distill as dew, as Moses prayed, "Lord, let your word distill as dew. Let it fall as raindrops on tender herb." Father, I pray that your teaching will drop as rain in the name of Jesus. Teach us today, O Lord God, for you are God who makes each of us sufficient through your grace. So Lord, as your word of grace appears, build us. Where we need edification, let edification come. Where we need correction, let correction come. Spirit of God, we surrender ourselves once again to you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have asked and we have prayed. Amen and amen. How many of us are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. 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 Extend those same hands to your neighbor as well and say, "God bless you. You are welcome to your Father's house. You are not here by accident. God has purposed you to be here." Amen. And today, by the grace of God, we would be looking at the topic, living light-filled lives. Living light-filled lives. Now I want us to rise up as we take up this text, Luke 11, 34 to 36. Let's rise up to the reading of God's word. Luke 11, 34 to 36. If you're there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister, next slide. Let's read one to go. "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no dark part, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." You may be seated in God's presence. God bless you. God bless the reading of His word. May understanding appear to each of us in Jesus' name. I just want us to reflect on that song, that hymn that we sang in the last. Sister, can you just project that verse, that verses of that song? There is one thing that kept repeating in that. The place that we are going, what does it say, that last line? "For there is no night there." For there is no night there. God is expecting that each of us are found in that habitation, and He is continuing to work in each of our lives towards that. That we be found in a place where there is no darkness at all. Amen? Amen? How many of us believe that? Amen? And for that, what God expects us to do is also what we do over here. Watch what we do over here. Watch what we do over here. Let's go back to the slide, sister. And that's why when the Lord said this thing, remember, look at that verse 35. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. You're going to a place where there is no darkness. Make sure you are not harboring darkness. I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself as I bring this word. Take heed that you do not become a bearer of darkness after having borne the light. That's what is important. If you have not known the light, if you have not known the light of the gospel, it is one thing. But having known the light of the gospel, guarding the light in your body, God takes it seriously. It's paramount. Amen. And so what is God saying over there? He's indicating one key thing over there, which is, if you see those three times, he says the whole body is full of light. The whole body is full of light. The whole body is full of light. How do you maintain that whole body is full of light? He's saying, watch what you watch. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, the whole body is full of light. If your eye is bad, the whole body is also is full of darkness. So what does it mean by good eye and bad eye? Next slide, sister. What does the good eye signify? And what does the bad eye signify? The first point, the good eye signifies a clear vision, a singular vision. And the bad eye denotes observing things from an evil or a hurtful perspective. Observing things from an evil or hurtful perspective. It also means having, next point, a vision that is aligned with God. A good eye means having a vision that is aligned with God. If your eye is singular, if your eye is aligned with God, and what does a bad eye signify? Having a maligned vision. Having a maligned vision. I'll bring it down to a very simple example. When you and I go through one form of offense or the other, what is your first reaction? If someone offends you, what is your first reaction? I will see to it that I give it back now. That is the reaction immediately that happens in the flesh. Or else I will say, I will wait. And when the fellow falls, no, that time I'll give it back to him. And that is also of the flesh. And it comes from the world as well. That's what the world waits for. But what is the eye that aligns with God do? What perspective does that take? If God has allowed this to happen in my life, there is something that God wants me to learn. There is something that God wants me to impart. There is something that God wants me to show. Or there are some places where God wants me to be silent. Ask your neighbor, which eye do you have? Now don't tell him, I'll pluck your eye now. But then, what does the good eye mean? A good eye is the spiritual eye. Remember, each of us have this eye. Each of us, are vulnerable to see from either of the two perspectives. Otherwise, the Lord will never say, be careful that the light that is in you does not become darkness. Each of us are vulnerable. Because I'm standing here, I'm not exempt. I'm the first one who's doubly accountable for this. So each of us are vulnerable here. So what is the significance of a good eye? The good eye, next point, sister, is spiritual. It receives from God. Your spirit looks at things through the lens of what the Holy Spirit shows. Whereas the bad eye is carnal, your flesh looks at things through the surroundings, through the world. A bad eye reacts to the impulses of the flesh. A good eye is spiritual, receives from God. A bad eye reacts to the flesh. And an eye that directs the body through the mind, the next part, it directs the body through the renewal of the mind. That is what the good eye does. By the power of the Holy Spirit, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, the eye directs the mind, or directs the body through the mind, through the renewed mind. Whereas what does the bad eye do? It compels the body, it compels the mind through what it experiences in the body. If you remember offers that come, sometimes you say, offer ending and there will be a countdown timer. And what will you do immediately? 50% off, countdown timer, 30 seconds left. What will you do? You will not wait even for the first second to go. Right? That is the compulsion that the mind takes. And what happens? Whatever the body is feeling, the mind now actions it. But what does the eye that is good do? It waits. It waits. It waits on the Spirit renewing yours and my thoughts. And what is the influence? The next point, sister. What does it result in? A good eye will allow the fruit of the Spirit to manifest, or it will allow the Spirit to produce fruit. Whereas the bad eye manifests the works of the flesh. Now don't give me side eyes. So when the Lord has said, if your eye be good, and if the Lord is warning that take heed that the darkness does not, the light does not become darkness, what should you and I be careful of? Am I mindful of having an aligned vision, or will I be giving way to a maligned vision? Next slide, sister. So how can light become darkness? We will look at the negative part first, and then we will go into the positive. Right? How can light become darkness? What are the dangers of a maligned vision? Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Next slide, ma'am. It's there on the slide as well. Romans chapter 13, verse 12, and Paul is saying over there, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Lay aside the deeds of darkness. He's not telling this to unbelievers. He's telling this to believers. Lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Which means to say, if we are rescued, though we are rescued from the domain of darkness, Colossians, the book of Colossians says we have been rescued from the domain of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, or in the kingdom of his dearly beloved, though we are rescued from the domain of darkness, but we are not immune to the deeds of darkness. Just because I am an ambassador of Christ, I don't have diplomatic immunity from temptation. I don't have diplomatic immunity. If, as an ambassador, I sin against my own king, I don't have immunity. Let us look at it in another way. What Paul is saying over there in, therefore, what are the deeds of darkness? In Ephesians 5, 3 to 5, Paul enlists them. That which the flesh has a pull on. And what are those over there? Sexual immorality, impurity, obscene stories, foolish talk, greed, coarse jokes. And Paul is telling there, these are not for you. Tell your neighbor, not for you. These are not for you to be engaging in. And then he says, you can be sure that such people, what happens, the next point, they are denied inheritance to God's kingdom. They are denied inheritance to God's kingdom. Which means to say that the inner man, next slide, sister, the inner man who has been clothed himself with Christ needs an armor of light. Galatians 3:27, what does it tell us about ourselves when we have given our lives to Christ? For all of you were baptized. We are studying that now in our cell study, right? We are baptized into Christ. Therefore, we have clothed ourselves with Christ. Just because I have a uniform, that doesn't mean I'm wearing my armor, right? Just because I have an identity, that doesn't mean I am protected. How many of the soldiers will go into a battlefield without an armor? Next point, sister. The inner man who has been clothed with Christ needs the armor of light. You know, when does a soldier go without the armor? When he's not aware of the battlefield that he's in. When he feels that all ground is civilian ground, there is no danger. Next slide. That is when a soldier neglects the armor. Holy living is a battle for every disciple. Let us not neglect the armor of right living. In some translations, it says the armor of light is mentioned as armor of right living. So when does, next point, when does light become darkness? Light becomes darkness when we neglect righteous living, when we undermine our identity in Christ by neglecting righteous living. How else does light become darkness? When we are walking in darkness. Let's look at 1 John 1, verse 6. And it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We lie and do not practice the truth. Sister, first point. The Bible says God dwells in light and in him is light. So if he is in the light, what should I do? Next point. When I fellowship with him in the word, in prayer, what does God do? His light exposes any darkness in me. If my fellowship is shallow, wherein I am not given to the word, wherein I am not given to prayer, what happens? I am not allowing God's light to shine into my life, and I am continuing to walk in darkness. That is not fellowship, that is called fellowship. It's not allowing anything to sink in deep. It is at the surface level. And that is the danger for any disciple of Christ. When our fellowship becomes fellowship. Let's look at that verse in another translation. Next slide. That same verse says, so if we are friends, we say we are his friends, but go on living in spiritual darkness and sin, we are lying. How many of us have sung that song, I am a friend of God? We know that song? Yeah? I am a friend of God, and he calls me friend. Right? Now, Jesus said something in John 15. You are my friends, and he puts a clause over there. If you do what I command you. You know, friendship can, you can command your friend. We were having a dialogue yesterday regarding something. How can my friend command me? I said, of course he can command. He's your friend. And if he doesn't have the right to command, he's not your friend. My friends have given me many commands during my college days for which I wouldn't even look at day or night or what time it is. And we would just go ahead because a friend has said it. Now, if I am singing, I am a friend of God, and if I am singing, we were just looking at the promise of the month. If I say I love him, and I don't do the things that I'm saying, what am I doing? Either I don't love him, or he's not my friend. Next point, sister. Friendship with God is distinguished by loving obedience to his word. I am walking in darkness, next point, if I am living in disobedience. Or if I'm walking in disobedience, I am walking in darkness. How else? Next slide. Okay, light becomes darkness when repentance and obedience are neglected in daily living. When life goes on at autopilot mode, when friendship with God is taken as something on surface level, when fellowship with God is not allowing a soul searching, what happens? Repentance becomes optional. Obedience becomes optional. And we end up walking in darkness. It shall not be my case in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. It shall be not your case as well in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How else? Next slide. When I not only walk in darkness, but where does darkness lead to? What is the next home? When I abide in darkness. Now, the Lord gives a warning in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, and he says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. He talks about the word dissipation, the first point, sister. That word dissipation means hangover. How many of us have experienced hangover? You don't need to raise your hands. And I'm not specifying when. But if you have experienced hangover, there is one thing about it. Right? The influence has left, but you're not able to do anything. You have become dull. And that's what the Lord is warning about. The indulgences and the cares of life, what happens? It leaves you to a place of spiritual dullness. It leaves the renewed mind, it degenerates into a place of dullness, spiritually dull. Next point, Ma. And you see the progression over there. Cares of life or the worries of life. If you look back in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the Lord classifies the worries of life as something that chokes the word. It does not even prevent, it does not allow the word of God to enter in. If the same worries does not allow us to be found on the day of God's coming. The cares of life. What happens? Unable to depart from darkness. It chokes the word. It renders us unable to depart from darkness. And it becomes an entrapment. No wonder. The shortest preaching that the Lord gave in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Three words, easy to remember when I am booking an inn in the inn of indulgence. When I'm booking a room in the inn of indulgence. Easy to remember. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? She kept turning back and she was trapped. She did not even become table salt. She became a pillar of salt. Next slide. You see that picture? It's not AI. It came you see the National Geographic Africa 2017 yearbook. It found its place there. What does it show? It shows a lion cub, okay, and it's called food coma. Many of us will be found like this afternoon. Men, let us not be found like this tomorrow morning. Amen? It's called food coma. And it's very interesting. You know what happens? A lion is able to gorge about 20% of its body weight. And after that, all it can do is not even lie on its belly, it's lying on its back. Now the Lord is showing something to us over there. What happens when a roaring lion comes to this lion? You think it can get up and fight? You think it can get up and flee? No way. What happens if a hunter comes? Do you find it entrapped? That's what the Lord is showing us. And it has come into the yearbook, which means the world cherishes. The world takes as a trophy what kind of lions? Weighed down lions become a trophy. You and I shall not be weighed down in the name of Jesus. The Lord shall deliver us in Jesus' name. Light becomes darkness through a mind unguarded from the indulgences and concerns of life. Guard your mind. Take grace from God to guard your mind. Yes, there are things that come across, there are needs that come, but that is not what will drive my eye. The next slide. What happens? How can light become darkness? When I am blinded by darkness. Let's look at that verse. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. First point, sister. If you look at that verse in the reverse, Because darkness has blinded his eyes, he does not know where he is going. He is living in darkness and walking in darkness. You see, when you and I are abiding in darkness and walking in darkness, there is an obscurity that darkness brings. That word blindness means obscurity. Things are not as it should appear. It becomes all obscured. What happens when you have an obscured heart, obscured sight? It leads to hardness of heart, which means the heart is not able to receive correction, nor is it able to forgive offenses. The heart is not able to receive correction, nor is it able to forgive offenses. You find that in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. Let's not go there. But then, what happens when I'm not able to receive correction, or when I'm not able to forgive offenses? I neglect fellowship to the point of hatred. I start hating my fellow brother because he has offended me or because he has tried to correct me. No wonder the author of Hebrews writes, let us not neglect the gathering of saints together, especially as we see the day approaching. Slide, sister. Light becomes darkness when the heart hardens through obscurity and it detests fellowship. The next point. How can the body be full of light? Or what are the benefits of aligned vision? When your eye is good, what did the Lord say? Your body shall be full of light. How can my body be full of light? When I keep my eyes open to the light. I want us to look at that verse carefully and read it together. Acts 26, verse 18. Let's open our eyes and read it. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Next slide. When God saves us, our eyes are opened to the light of the gospel. That's why in the book of Proverbs it says in that verse, the hearing eye, the hearing ear, and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. And then the writer wants us over there, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. It is God who makes the seeing eye. It is God who gives us the hearing ear when the light of the gospel enters our heart. But we need to keep our eyes open so that the second part of having an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith, if we need to access our inheritance, we need to keep our eyes open. Open. Tell your neighbor, open your eyes. Tell your neighbor again, I am not sleeping. You see, neuroscientists say one thing. They say that exposure to bright light upon waking eliminates sleepiness. Now, that is not the phone, by the way. That's not the phone. It is when you and I open our eyes to the sun. When we stand in the sun as we wake up, sleepiness goes. Right? And for us, when God has opened our eyes, He expects us to look to Him, to come to the light, to keep our eyes open to the light so that we don't lose our inheritance. Esau lost his inheritance. Why? Because he was heeding to his flesh. He knew what his inheritance was, but when his flesh demanded certain things, he said, I don't bother about this inheritance right now. Right now, I need to hear my belly out. The body is filled with light when we keep our seeing eyes from drifting into slumber. So that, what happens when light enters? It cleanses us. We allow his light to cleanse us as we keep our eyes open to him. Not only when I keep my eyes open, but when I shut my eyes to evil as well. That is when my body can be filled with light. Look at that verse, Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15. And it's actually an answer to a question that people are asking in the midst of calamity. The question that they are asking, if you go back to verse 14, we don't need to go there, you can go back and read. Who among us shall dwell in the devouring fire? When destruction is happening around, who can dwell? That is the question they are asking. And the answer is given there. He who walks righteously, speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. Which means to say, it's not just righteous conduct, but there is a forbidding of evil and rejection of corruption. You know, corruption finds it very easy nowadays to enter any of us. You don't need to watch anything above or R rating or anything. Your news channel is more than enough to corrupt your mind. You look at me as if I'm the only one who gets corrupted by news channels. A news channel is more than enough for you to be inquisitive and then go into what next? Oh, what happened there? What happened here? And what happens? The seeing eye, what happens? It starts looking into worthless things. Refuse watching evil to preserve the blessings of walking in light. When you shut your eyes from seeing evil, go to the next verse. What happens? What is the blessing that happens along with it? Look at verse 16 and 17. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. And look at the next part, verse 17, the most beautiful verse over there. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. Notice the capital K in the king. They will see the land that is very far off. Shutting your eyes has many blessings. You are set apart. You are set above. That is what that verse tells us. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. You are set apart and set above. You are secured. Your sustenance is assured. I'm speaking to someone here. Your sustenance is assured, and you will have the sight of glory in the name of Jesus. The eyes that reject temporal evil is what will behold eternal glory. I tell that again. It is the eye that rejects temporal evil that will behold eternal glory. What else? No wonder. That is why Job said, I have made an agreement with my eyes. How many of us have made rental agreements? I have made an agreement. Here it is more than that. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look at a young woman in a way that would make me want her. Now that is not just limited to men, or that is not just limited to youth. That's what the Lord is telling the church as well. Are you and I having adulterous eyes? Shut your eyes to evil. The body is filled with light when we shut our eyes to evil as we keep them open to light. How else? How can the body be full of light? The next point. When I come to the light, when I come to Christ to examine my life. Look at that verse over there. But anyone who follows the true way comes to the light. And what does the light do? Then the light will show that whatever they have done was done through God. You see, there is a specific work of God involved in every aspect of our lives. Your lives and my lives are not autopilot. When God calls you, when God saves you, when God places you in a place, there is a specific purpose that God has. And God wants to be involved in the specifics. And to understand that specific work, God expects you and me to come to Him, to allow Him to reveal what is His work in that space and in that season. Anyone who comes, who knows the way, who follows the true way, the Bible says, comes to the light. It's not just about serving in the church. Again, serving in the ministry. How do I take my service in the ministry? Do I take it for granted, or do I take it to Him and take it and examine it? Allow Him to examine it. Lord, is this what you want me to do? What about our daily, if I may use the word, secular lives? You think God is not the Lord over your jobs? Or is He not the Lord over your homes? He's the Lord of all, everything. And the Lord expects you and I to bring it to Him. Next slide, sister. So my devotion is revealed in the direction of my walk. In everything that I do, if I am going towards Him, then I am doing His work. Or in some things I am going away from Him, I am doing my work. Which direction do I walk to? That shows where I am going, where my devotion is. Am I coming to the light with my everyday, daily life? When I come to Him like that, my body shall be full of light. That shall be your portion in Jesus' name. As you walk with the Lord, as you bring every of your situations, every of your circumstances before Him, the Lord shall give you light. You shall not be lacking direction. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to those who are willing to bring to Him and obey Him. That's what Deuteronomy 29:29 says. Unless and until you and I participate with Him, He does not reveal. The body is filled with light when we come to Christ to understand the work of God in and through our lives. The next one, when I'm growing in the light. How is my body filled with light? When I am growing in the light. In John 1:4 it says, in Him was life, and the power to bestow life, and the life was light of men. Light for man comes from the life of Christ that is in him. I'm talking to born-again believers. Your life, your light comes from the life of Christ. But for growth to happen, there is something else that you and I need to do. Look at what John says in John 3 verse 30. It is a statement of John the Baptist. He must increase and I must decrease. The more I allow Christ to have his way, the more I allow him to increase in me, the more I allow his life in me, and the more I prevent my ways to prevail, or the more I decrease, the more I am filled with his light, the more of his life lives through me. So how does the body is filled with light when I grow in the light by allowing him to increase and I decrease. Next point. Just to look at it. First point, undermine my identity in Christ by neglecting righteous living, or do I keep my eyes from slumber open to his sanctification? Do I neglect repentance and obedience in daily living, or do I turn my eyes from worthless things? Do I keep my mind unguarded from indulgences and concerns of life? Do I direct my walk towards him in all the work that I do? Do I keep my heart averse to correction and harbor offenses? Or do I grow in allowing him to increase in my life? That's what the Lord is asking each of us to examine. Examine yourselves in the faith, Paul says. These are questions that God is asking each of us. And why does it matter? Why does my vision matter? Remember what the Lord said over there. My whole body shall be filled with light. Why does the body matter? Look at that verse over there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body, in accordance to what he has done, whether good or bad. In accordance to what he has done through the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We are accountable for every work done here in the body. How much careful should we be about the gateways of the body? Next slide, sister. I want us to rise up now, and it's a time of self-examination, even as we have pondered over those questions. And we will be going for a time of prayer. Am I struggling to keep my eyes to the light? Is there any area where I'm struggling to keep my eyes to the light? Am I failing in keeping my eyes to the light? And the Lord is telling from the book of Micah chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. That's the cry over there. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. For anyone going through struggle in keeping eyes intact, in keeping an aligned vision with God, the Lord is telling you and I am the light. I dwell in light unapproachable, but I am light to you. The Lord is a light for me. And that verse goes further to say, though I bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him, until he pleads my case and executes justice for me, he will bring me out to the light and I will see his righteousness. He will bring me to the light and I will see his righteousness. The book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 1 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He pleads your case. He brings you out to the light. Why? Because he has revealed his righteousness already on the cross. That is why his light has come to you. Today, if you are struggling with one sin or the other, take heart and turn to the Lord. The Lord is giving an opportunity today. Once again, he who knew sin, no sin, became sin for you and I so that we might become the righteousness of God. So today the Lord is giving us an opportunity once again. Why don't you turn to me? Even when you are struggling, when you are battling with darkness, why don't you turn to me? The Lord is pleading that. Turn to me and live. Don't take your struggles to yourself. Bring them to me. Let me examine them. And let my light come to you. Why don't you turn that into a prayer and say, Lord, help me today. In places where I'm not able to keep my eyes upon you, where I'm failing in my fellowship, where I'm failing in the place of reading your word, of spending time in your presence with the word in prayer. Lord, wherever I'm failing, Lord, I need your light. I need your light. Lord, bring me to the light. You are the good shepherd. You are my advocate. You are God who leads me into paths of righteousness for your namesake. Lord, bring me to the light in the name of Jesus. I trust you are praying. I hope you're not meditating your prayers. Pray these prayers, brethren. The Lord wants us to be filled with light, especially as the day is near. Especially as the day is at the doorstep, let's not neglect righteous living. Let's not be negligent of the armor of light. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I need your light. The Lord is addressing another set of people. Am I living in blinded self-righteousness and hard-heartedness? The book of Revelation chapter 3, 17 to 18. The Lord brings this charge against the lukewarm church. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. The Lord is saying, verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and buy white garments that you may be clothed, and that your shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. You are here, you are blinded to your own lukewarmness, and there is one suffering after the other that you are going through. The Lord is saying, I am bringing that suffering because I want to correct you in love. I am bringing that suffering. That's actually the fire where your faith is going to be refined. That is where your faith will turn to gold. That is where your eyes will be washed, will be medicated by eye salve. Do not take that suffering as the work of the evil one. The Lord is telling you, it is not the work of the evil one. I have allowed that suffering for your correction. I have allowed that suffering so that you may live. I have allowed that suffering so that you may turn to me. I have allowed that suffering to heal you of your lukewarmness. The Lord is speaking to someone over here. I have allowed that suffering, but it is going to turn for you as an opportunity to be refined by me. Would you stop being hard-hearted? Do not be hard-hearted as in the days of Meribah. Do not be stiff-necked as in the days of Meribah. If today you have heard the word, do not be stiff-necked. Turn to the Lord. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. And that's a word of encouragement for each of us. I correct and punish the people I love. That's the easy to read version. I correct and punish the people I love. So show that nothing is more important to you than living right. Show that nothing is more important to you than living right. Change your hearts and lives, because you are coming to a place where there is no night. Because you are coming to a place where there is no night. Heavenly Father, I surrender myself to you once again, and I surrender each of my brethren here under the sound of my voice. Lord, we pray, you are God who lovingly corrects us. And God, you are the God of all grace. Father, may we take grace from your word today, the word of grace that has appeared unto us. Father, may we take grace to turn to you. You said, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. I am God and there is no other. Lord, as we look to you, Father, deliver us from everything that keeps us in darkness in the name of Jesus. Deliver us, O Lord God, from every form of presumptuous sin in the name of Jesus. Deliver us, Father, from any form of lukewarmness in the name of Jesus. May my eyes always look to the King. May my eyes always see the King in his glory. May my eyes see that distant land in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. We still remain the attitude of prayer. Let's pray and talk to God. Lord, transform my life completely. Help me to walk daily as a light. Help me to walk daily as a child of light, leaving behind every form of darkness in our thoughts, in our action. Continue to talk to God. That God should continue to transform you completely and help you to walk daily as a child of light, leaving behind every form of darkness in our light, or in our thought and word and action. Pray that the presence of God, the message you have heard this afternoon, will be a light to your path in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you continue to make us a visible light for our generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Let our life continue to reflect your goodness in Jesus' name. And let your life, our life, continue to see your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Arise and shine. Our light shall continue to shine in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we have heard your word this afternoon. You have planted. Let your Holy Spirit continue to water it in our heart in Jesus' name. That light that you have made us to be shall never go into darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. And your servant you have used to brought us this light, this message of light. The light in his life shall never go into darkness in Jesus' name. Bless him, bless the work of his hand, bless his children, bless sister and everyone that connected to him, bless his ministry in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we are privileged to hear from him this afternoon as well. Father, let your light continue to shine upon us in Jesus' name. And that light shall never go into darkness in Jesus' name. This message, we shall continue to testify to the glory of God by surrendering our life to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Wherever they go, we go. Our action, we shall be ambassador of light for Christ in Jesus' name. Father, we bless your holy name. Your light of peace shall continue to shine over this region in the mighty name of Jesus. Even entire world, your light, your word, will shine over every part in Jesus' name. Once again, the crisis within this area, you are the one that can stop it. Bring it to an end in Jesus' name. In a miraculous way, because we cry unto you, let everything come to an end in Jesus' name. Every leaders that are involved, Father, they will not have rest until they listen to your instruction in Jesus' name. And your peace shall reign in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember our members that have traveled, wherever they may be, they will not get stuck because of this crisis in Jesus' name. They have gone safely, they will return with testimony in Jesus' name. And for some of us that are here, as we breathe, we continue to breathe your light in Jesus' name. We continue to breathe your peace in the mighty name of Jesus. This nation continue to breathe your peace in Jesus' name. So shall it be. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Let us share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week ahead. Enjoy your holiday.